Hands-on with the iPhone XR and the Google Home Hub and building a do-yourself Spotify. Live from the Twit Studios from Petaluma, California, it's the new Screensavers.
Yeah! Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
The new Screensavers is brought to you by Slide Belts by Brig Taylor. High-quality, comfortable ratchet belts that are easy to adjust. If you want a better belt, go to slidebelts.com/twit and use the code TWIT for 20% off. And by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Introducing Rate Shield Approval. If you're in the market to buy a home, Rate Shield Approval locks up your rate for up to 90 days while you shop. It's a real game changer. Learn more and get started at rocketmortgage.com/NSS. Looks strangely like Lou Maresca, the host of This Week in Enterprise. That couldn't possibly. Why, it is! My God! Hello, Lou. Lou's just borrowing. He thinks this is a WeWork space.
Of course, yeah. It's a drop-in. Yeah. Anytime.
Lou's just borrowing it. Thank you, Lou, for doing the open. This is episode 180, recorded Saturday, October 27th, 2018. I'm Leo Laporte.
And I'm Aaron Newcomb.
Aaron, nice to see you.
Yeah, I haven't been here. I think it's been physically in the building probably over a year.
What?
Of course, I do Floss Weekly, and I try to do that at least once a month. I try to make time for that. But work keeps me so busy that I just haven't been able to make it
so
up.
So it's not that here. We haven't asked you.
Oh, no. You've asked. Good. You've asked plenty of times.
We love having you on.
And I always feel guilty saying no, but, you know.
Aaron's a great maker. He also runs his own maker space.
That's right. We're
going to talk about that in a little bit. And he's the author of this fine book that everybody's going to want to run out and buy 10 copies of. Linux for Makers, share that with your favorite maker using, I would guess, a Raspberry Pi.
Raspberry Pi. And I talk about other single-board computers as well, not just Raspberry Pi. But it's a great,
nice.
If you're going to buy one, a lot of times people ask me, I'm buying a Raspberry Pi for my whatever, son, grandson, whatever, what else should I buy? A book like this and a couple other books on making and Raspberry Pi would be perfect to go along with it.
This
that way they've got something
to go with it. And boy, I think a Raspberry Pi is a great gift for a young person who wants to learn about computers.
And this is especially good for someone that's not familiar with Linux. That's why I wrote the book, of course, is to give them, you know, what's the file structure look like? How do I install software? Things like that. How do I protect my system? And as I step through the book, there's places for you to try out whatever it is that I'm talking about. So.
And the default, you can use different operating systems, but the default for Raspberry Pi is Raspbian.
Which is a derivative of Debian.
Yeah. It's nice. Make the O'Reilly folks put some money. This is in color.
Yeah, color and lots of pictures. I tried to put as many pictures as possible because it's really hard to describe what's going on in a terminal window if you've never used one before.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
Well, so good. That's great.
Yeah.
And I hear it's selling quite well,
It's selling like hotcakes.
Make magazine, Make Linux for Makers.
There you go.
We have a great show for you today. I have reviews, two reviews. I got the new iPhone XR. Came yesterday, and I've been out and about shooting photos and playing with it. And I just turned on the flashlight. It's also very smart. I'll turn off the flashlight. Somehow,
sure
I will turn off
there
the flashlight. There you go. We'll give you my review, and I'll tell you why. More than just a budget iPhone. There's some good reasons you might want to look at this one.
Yeah. Not only that, but we got some questions coming up. We got some questions on makerspaces, how to help detecting Wi-Fi problems, and making your own DIY music streaming servers.
We're going to
talk about that.
Somebody's wife very happy. We're also going to talk about this. This is the new Google Home Hub. It's been a busy day. The mail guys had a lot to do this week. It's a Google Assistant, it's a smart home controller, and as you can see, it's a digital picture frame. My review coming up.
Yep, and not only that, but Halloween's right around the corner. I don't know if you've decorated yet.
Yeah, we kind of have, but I'm like what you're talking about here.
Yeah. So if you've got some Philips Hue lights and a speaker, Megan Roney's going to be on in a little bit to tell you how to use an Android app to actually, what did we say? Creepify your home.
I have Hue lights throughout my office only. because my wife doesn't want them in the rest of the house. But I can make my office very scary now, thanks to Megan. It'll be a lot of fun. Let's get started with the hot topics. There was some big news from the Copyright Office this week. And thanks to the iFixit folks, Kyle Weens, Cory Doctorow, and the Electronic Frontier Foundation, a bunch of people who spent a lot of time petitioning the Copyright Office. This is a big deal in the right to repair movement. I'm sure you're all over right to repair.
Yeah, this has been going on for a long time, especially with makerspaces, right? One of the things we do frequently is we have take-apart nights where we take a printer or whatever. We just want to take it apart, and it's a great way for kids to learn. And also, it's great just to fix your own stuff. And there was kind of a movement going on with some vendors saying, look, if you violate, if you take the top off, you know, we could come back and sue you for copyright infringement. And now with this decision, actually, it opens up the ability for people like me or really anybody to take apart your own stuff, see how it works, and hopefully fix it yourself. So this is a really good movement right here by the Copyright Office.
This is a bunch. Basically, the right to petition for exemptions to the DMCA and the group that went there, including Sorek, convinced the Librarian of Congress and the Copyright Office, the final ruling released this week, that you do have the right to repair. Now, here's what's changed. You can now jailbreak Alexa-powered hardware and other gadgets. They call them voice assistant devices. That's huge. You couldn't do that before because it has copy protection built in. And the DMCA says you can't reverse engineer copy protection. Well, these are exemptions to that. You can unlock a brand new phone, not just used ones. That's important for recyclers that get unopened consumer returns. There's a general exemption for smartphone repair, home appliances, or home systems. So, for instance, Kyle Weens writes, it's finally legal to root and fix the Revolve smart home hubs that Google bricked when they shut down the servers. Remember that? They bought the company, and then you basically took them out
of
business and took the servers down.
Yeah.
Repair of motorized land vehicles, including tractors, by modifying the software. This is huge. People who have John Deere tractors were thwarted by John Deere. You actually could not modify the tractor.
That's right.
You had to get it certified by the repair center. That's huge news. And it's now legal for third parties to perform repair on behalf of the owner. So you can basically take a smartphone to a third-party repair place. They cannot be prevented. However, you can't fix your Xbox One or your PS4. Products that aren't in this category, smartphones, home appliances, or home systems, or motorized land vehicles, are excluded. So for, I don't know why, but if you have a boat, you can't repair it. Okay? Whatever that means. And I think this was a non-starter. The EFF and Bunny Wang did ask to bypass HDCP, the HDMI copy protection. And that was denied as well. I'm not surprised.
I'm not surprised.
I think they threw that one in and said, maybe they'll miss it. Yeah. But this is huge. This really is a big affirmation of the right to repair. I'm very pleased.
Hopefully they'll get a blanket statement on this. I mean, it's a little wonky to have all these onesie-twosie types things where you can repair this, but you can't repair your Xbox.
Yeah.
You know, hopefully at some point this will continue to progress and we'll be able to repair whatever we want.
I have to commend Motorola. They're the first smartphone company to actually release a do-it-yourself repair kit. They have wedges and pries and stuff. That is fantastic.
Yep.
You saw the New York Times article. And by the way, the president has denied this. But the New York Times had an article saying that they had been briefed by White House staffers who were hoping that the article would change President Trump's habits. He has Trump denies it. But anyway, he has three iPhones, two of which are modified to be secure by the Secret Service or whoever it is that does this. I think it's the Secret Service. One of them, for instance, only has Wi-Fi. Doesn't have a phone in it at all.
Right.
But apparently the president also has his own personal iPhone and is wont to make those late-night calls he makes to friends and family. The Times said it's because it's the only one of the three that he can have a contact list on, so it's easier for him to make the calls. And what this article asserted is that the Chinese and the Russians can listen in on these iPhone calls on this third stock iPhone. So I know a lot of people were wondering, well, how are they able to do this? I thought the iPhone was secure. I thought cell conversations were secure. And it goes back, there's a great article in Wired Magazine that talks about this. It goes back to the radio software. The baseband software in here, it's called SS7. This was hacked has been hacked for years. It came out in 1975.
Wow.
And even though everybody knows it's hacked, and we've seen a lot of hacks around this, it hasn't been fixed. It's a major process to fix this. Every phone has SS7 software in it. So that's problem one. Problem two is Washington, D.C. is littered with something called stingrays. You know what a stingray is?
Stingray.
These are things that law enforcement uses, but is also used by spies and bad guys. They pose as a cell site.
They're
portable. You can put it in a briefcase. They're small.
Yeah.
They pose as a cell site. And then you know that smartphones are promiscuous. As soon as they see a strong signal from a cell site, it's far more over here. They join that cell site. And as long as they get online and everything works, they're going to say, yeah, I'm connected. Well, that's a man-in-the-middle attack.
Right.
All of your traffic is going through that stingray. Mm-hmm. And we know there are literally dozens of stingrays all over D.C., many of them near embassies. I'm guessing there's more than a few near the White House as well.
Yeah.
So anytime anybody in the White House, not just the president, picks up a stock cell phone, there's the potential that that conversation can be monitored. Not a good thing. So he says, no, I hardly ever use that phone. Hardly ever use that phone. It's okay. But, you know, honestly, I can understand. He's kind of an open book, right?
He is.
Think he feels like, well, so what if they're listening? And everybody knows how I feel. You do remember back to the previous president, Obama, complaining.
Right.
Because when he got in office, they took away his BlackBerry and they gave him a Windows CE device that was modified, hacked, had things hanging off of it to be secure. He even complained, I think, to Jimmy Kimmel, saying, I'm practically using a child's phone.
Right.
they won't let me use a real phone. So
he got
it's
it
important.
Back, though, eventually, didn't he?
Yeah.
Halfway through his...
Yeah, they found it. They were able to secure it a little bit better.
Poor guy.
You take my cell phone away.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I'm going to be peeved.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I can't imagine living with
it. It's interesting how things have changed just in the past 8 years, right?
Yeah, and we talk about this a lot, but I have to say, I watch all the time. Nobody's ever looking at anything anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You walk down the street, everybody's like this constantly.
Yep.
And if they're not looking at it, they're holding it.
Right.
Now, I have a good excuse. I'm playing Pokemon Go. But the rest of you, would you put your phone down? Finally, look at this painting. And let me tell you how much this painting sold for. This is a painting done by artificial intelligence. They were trained it on the old masters.
It's beautiful.
It's really? Beautiful. You think so?
Yeah.
It's kind of a schmeary face. Guy's got a white collar. It's dark. It looks a little Rembrandt-y. There's, black. It looks like the AI couldn't quite finish it. They just sold it at Christie's Auction House for $432,500. Nearly $500,000.
That's crazy.
That's the new thing when you go to see modern art. Instead of saying my kid could do that, my AI could do
that. Yeah, my AI could do that. No problem. They should have shredded it after that when they got done.
That was cool. Banksy did that?
Yeah, Banksy.
Somebody bought it and then they came after it.
As soon as they bought it, sold.
Boom. Did they get their money back?
I don't think so.
What?
No, I don't think so.
All you get is an empty frame and a bunch of shreds?
And a shredded Banksy. Yep. Here's your shredded Banksy.
I figured this was bought by one of the ridiculously wealthy tech entrepreneurs like a Larry Page. And he just said, well, I'll have the first AI. And what's, to him, $432 is like 20 bucks to
right,
you.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah. Pennies.
Pennies. Nothing. Hey, I get that in my couch.
Piece of history.
Yeah. And it is. It's a piece of history. Aaron, I'm so glad you're here. We've got some great questions for you. We're going to do a review of a couple of things. But first, let's take a look at my belt. Ready?
Woo!
I'm wearing, look at that. It says Twit. Isn't that nice? That's my slide belt. Now, I have to say, I stopped wearing belts for a while because they were uncomfortable.
To
a man of my girth, a belt is just an insult. And if I eat something, then it's like, because they have like four notches. The slide belt has a patented ratchet technology. I just love it. That means I can make it almost any size I want. There's, I think, 32 different ratchets on here. I also love the sound. In the morning, when I put on my belt, I love that. That's the slide belt ratchet technology. Slide belts from Brig Taylor are high-quality, comfortable ratchet belts, a variety of designs. I'm wearing a vegan leather, and you noticed it was monogrammed. This would be a great groom's gift if you've got a wedding coming up, a great gift for Christmas as well. They don't have holes, just that patented 32 ratchet design. It makes it the most comfortable belt you've ever worn. I had a problem, I confess, in the old days. It's an embarrassing problem. I almost don't want to admit it, with pants falling down. Because the belt would just slide right off my narrow hips. Not anymore with a slide belt. This is a slide belt. I'll show you the actual mechanism. This is a brass buckle with a kind of navy canvas. Kind of makes it look like a Cub Scout, right? I love that. So the way these come, it's great. They fit anybody. They have come very long, and then you can just cut them to the length you want. And then you insert it here, which is nice because you can easily change the belt with different buckles, which is fantastic. Let me insert it in the right place and then lock it down. And then here's the other side. This is the ratchet side on it, and that's what the ratchets look like. So they just slide right in, and they make that great ratcheting sound. I'm really a fan of the slide belt. Let me show you. Aaron, wait till you see this. This is the primo. This is the survival belt from Slide Belt. Beautiful buckle here. And what? Okay. Just looks like a regular belt buckle, right? Except for the knife, bottle opener, flashlight. I mean, let me close the knife so I don't, because it's really sharp. This is like if you go out in the woods.
Yeah.
And then it's got a little flashlight. Look at that. Very bright LED light, and a fire starter. This is a fire starter. So you could wear this belt and nothing else and survive in the woods. It's just awesome. This would be actually a great groom's gift. You could choose the material for the belt. Slide Belt is just a great place with a huge selection of straps, full grain and top grain leathers. That's the one I have at home, of course, because nothing but the best for me, but also vegan leathers and canvas. You can wear them casually around the house, but they're just as dressy as can be for date night. And as I said, you can change the material anytime. So it really makes it great to be, have multiple belts with your buckle. And, of course, a one-year warranty, free exchanges, and no-hassle returns. So if you give this as a gift and somebody doesn't want it, no problem. They can return it easily. A great gift option. Many options. By the way, not just men. They have narrow belts as well for women and kids. Unisex survival belts, colorful belts for kids, skinny belts for women, and coming soon, slide belt watches with swappable watch bands for ultimate customization. Also, before you check out, click on the deals tab. You'll find some great offers. Those sets, though, because they're already discounted, won't get our special TWIT offer. If you're ready for a better belt, this is the TWIT offer. Go to slidebelts.com/TWIT and use the code TWIT at checkout. You'll get 20% off your order. Nice deal. Slidebelts.com/TWIT. Use the offer code TWIT for 20% off. Slide Belts by Brig Taylor. Brig, by the way, is the guy who does slide belts.
Ah.
He's a nice guy. Yeah. I met him.
Great guy. Check him out.
Yeah. Oh, they're really nice. Yeah. Comfortable. See? Yep. And if I have a big meal tonight?
I've got the same problem. I go to sit down.
Of course you do.
Like, too tight.
Too tight. Oh, no, I made it a little bit too tight, but it's okay because it goes. All right, I got the new iPhone yesterday, so I guess you can't say this is a thorough multi-week review, and I'll have that for you later on, but I am blown away. Now, I'll tell you a little bit about this. This is the iPhone XR. As you know, it comes in colors, six of them, and they're beautiful colors. There's black, there's white, there's coral, which is kind of pinky, there's a kind of a light blue, and this one, which I got, is product red. Now, the sad thing about this is these are now glass backs. That's so they support the Qi charging that all iPhones now support, all the new iPhones support, with an aluminum colored band around it.
The
red is beautiful. The aluminum is fine. It's stainless steel on the more expensive iPhone XS. But I think this is just fine. But aluminum's going to dent a little bit easier. Glass is going to break for sure.
Too.
And you see the fingerprints. It's really... It's sad to me because they're making these absolutely gorgeous phones, and the first thing you're going to do is put it in a case.
Right. Yep.
There's just no way anyone's going to carry this around, and if they do, you better be awfully careful. What's good about this is the price. They start at $750. That's about $250 less than the XS Max. That's for a 64-gigabyte version. It's the only iPhone XRS that supports 128 gigs. That's $799. Because the iPhone XS and XS Max jump right to 256. That's $899. So you see a big difference in pricing. You're saving a couple of $100. But you're not giving up the internals. It still has the A12 Bionic, that amazing chip. And by the way, as we learn more and more about the A12, we're just realizing this is basically a desktop class processor.
Right.
Beating, in some cases, the MacBook in terms of processing.
Isn't that crazy?
Performance. There's a lot of headroom, I guess. It has the same front cameras, the 7-megapixel true depth camera, does the portrait mode, does the Animoji, all the funny little things that iOS 12 does. The back camera is one of the sacrifices you're going to make. It is a single lens instead of the dual. It only has the wide-angle lens. Same 12-megapixel rear wide-angle camera as in the XS, the 10, XS, and 10.
So what do you lose without the dual camera?
You don't get the 2X optical zoom.
Okay, okay.
You get digital zoom.
Yeah.
And Apple does, they say, use that second lens for some of the camera computational photography that they do.
Right.
But you still get portrait mode, and it looks to me just as good. Still does great at night. I took a lot of pictures. Last night we went to a haunted house.
Yeah, and that's the Achilles heel of these all cell phone cameras, really, is how well they do in low light.
But they're getting so
much better.
This is a dual SIM model, wireless charging, as I mentioned, just like the big boys. What's interesting is the size. So this is bigger than the iPhone 8, but smaller than the 8 Plus. It's bigger than the iPhone 10, but smaller than the XS Max. Mm. So I think for a lot of people, this is at a kind of a midpoint. That is a good size. A lot of people complain about the XS Max that it's just a little too big. It's a 6.1-inch screen, 326 pixels per inch, which, in my opinion, is more than enough. I mean, remember when we got all excited because laser printers finally did 300 DPI? This is more than that. Everything's really crisp. And there's the other sacrifice you're going to make. This is not the OLED screen of the iPhone X and XS.
Yeah.
This is an LCD screen. But, folks, so was every iPhone before the iPhone X. It's a very good LCD screen, and I'll tell you, when I put it side by side with my XS Max, it's not worse. It's fine. It's a great screen. Some people complain about the bezels. You see that it's not...
I was just going to mention that. Yeah.
It's not completely edge to... Oh, sorry, Siri, didn't mean to trigger you. It's not. You can't see it when it's black, but it's not completely edge to edge, but that doesn't bother me. Here, let me get Anthony's XS... And we can show. Well, yours is very pretty. I like that picture.
I know.
Wow, that's purple. But size-wise, you can see just a little bit smaller. Not much, but it's a little easier to hold. And I think people will like it for that reason. It is a 1,400:1 contrast ratio. That's very good for
that's
LCD,
really good.
But not nearly what OLED will do.
Yeah.
They call it the most advanced LCD ever, the liquid retina. You know, Apple's good at those numbers and names and so forth. I think this is fine. One of the things they have done with this, iFixit tells us, is put a pretty big battery in it. The only battery that's bigger from Apple is the XS Max. Mm-hmm. So battery life with this LCD screen, the lower pixel density, and the big battery is going to be very good. In fact, that's been my experience. It's a great Pokemon Go device. You can play for hours and hours. They say 1.5 more hours of battery life than the 8 Plus. Apple's usually pretty good in their battery estimates. So that's the best claimed battery life of any iPhone ever, according to Apple. Video playback compared to the XR, the XR compared to the XS, 16 hours on the XR, 14 hours on the XS, 15 hours on the XS Max. So given the bigger battery and the less power-hungry screen, this is the battery life champion in the iPhone lineup.
Yep.
That's another reason to look at it.
And that's why my wife would love that, right? I mean, she doesn't need the biggest, the sharpest, the
most
pixels.
Yeah, and if you have smaller hands, this
is
a better size. This is a really good replacement for anybody who's with an older iPhone, a pre-iPhone 10. They're going to say, wow, this is so great. It does use all the iPhone 10, Face ID and the swipes and everything like that. It's the new modern platform. It's a little less water resistant than the XS. It's IP67 instead of IP68. You should probably not drop any iPhone in water.
Right.
I know they say it could survive at a meter depth for three hours. Don't do it.
Yeah, don't do that.
Don't do that. It's mostly splash proof. You can take it out in the rain. If it falls out of your pocket into the toilet, it's going to survive. I am very, very happy with this. And I think given the $750 price point, still not cheap. I mean, there are Android phones, very good, very competent, maybe even almost as competent Android phones for half that price. But if you want an iPhone, $749 is a great price. Get the 64 gig. I find that's plenty of room. And I have lots of music and books on here and take a lot of photos. You'll probably be using the iPhoto cloud library, and that takes the photos right off the phone. I think this is the iPhone. I think this is going to be the iPhone this year for this year that people will really want.
I think you're right.
Save a little bit of money. So there's the iPhone XR. I'm happy to carry it around, to be honest with you. I used it all day yesterday. I've been using the XS Max, and I didn't feel in any way constrained. I felt like it was just as good. Maybe if you're a real photo buff, you'll want that 2X optical zoom.
Yep.
Maybe if you're really an OLED fan, you'll want the OLED screen. But, boy, for better battery life and a couple hundred bucks off, this is a great choice. The iPhone XR comes in 6 colors. All right. We're going to answer a call for help in just a little bit. You're going to show somebody how to do a DIY Spotify. What?
Fun stuff.
Fun stuff. And I'm going to review this puppy here. It's been showing all my family photos for the last couple of hours. But first, a word from our sponsor, Rocket Mortgage. If it's time to take your family to a new house or refinance your existing home, I want to send you to the best lender in the country. They're the biggest now, too. They kind of go hand in hand. Quicken Loans. For the last 8 years in a row, Quicken Loans has been number one in customer satisfaction, according to J.D. Power. 8 years in a row. As of last December, they finally beat that big bank, you know, the one with the whips and the stagecoach. Yeah! They are number one, and there's good reason. For instance, they're very customer-focused. They created, and we've talked about this before, Rocket Mortgage, an entirely online mortgage approval process that simplifies it. You don't have to go to the bank. You don't have to dress up. You don't have to get a big stack of paperwork to take home and go through old boxes of, you know, bank statements and pay stubs. You don't have to do any of that. You just go online to rocketmortgage.com/NSS, answer a few simple questions. They'll tell you which loans you qualify for. You pick the term, the down payment, the rate, and then within about 10 minutes, you're pre-qualified. That's called pre-qualified approval, but it's just the first step. Next step, within 24 hours, they'll verify income, assets, and credit, and then you get that big green button on there that says verified approval. And you can even print out a letter to bring to your realtor, or better yet, the seller, that says they're good for it. They got the money. They got the loan. Suddenly, you have the strength of a cash buyer. You move right to the front of the line. So if you're bidding on a house and there's four other bidders and you're the one with that letter, you're golden. But here comes step three. And this is something new because rates are going up now. You might have noticed that the Fed has started to raise the federal interest rate. And that means LIBOR is going up and these other index rates. That means there's always the potential as you're house hunting, the interest rates are going to go up. And that means on a 30-year loan, that could be tens of thousands more dollars. That's a big deal. It puts pressure on you. You got to look at a house and you say, honey, we got to take, it's not perfect, but we got to take this house because the rates are going up. It's going to cost us more. You don't want that anxiety. Rocket Mortgage takes the anxiety out of it with their new Rate Shield approval. Exclusive to Rocket Mortgage, they're going to lock your rate up for up to 90 days while you shop. That means that once you get that loan, once you do that third step, the Rate Shield approval, your rate cannot go up. It could go down if the rates go down, but if the rates go up, your rate is locked. You have up to 90 days now to look for a house with no pressure. That is a big deal. That's why they're number one. They think about customer experience. It's exactly what you'd expect from America's largest mortgage lender. You do this. Go to rocketmortgage.com/NSS. Sign up today. Get that account going. It'll be a lot faster when the time comes and you want to get that loan. Now, let me give you some legalese. Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year purchase transactions. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply based on Quicken Loans data in comparison to public data records. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, and MLSConsumerAccess.org, number 3030. We're talking rocketmortgage.com/NSS. We thank them for their support. Make it possible to do the new screensavers. You ready to take a call for help?
I'm ready.
You feel good? Let's do it. Call for help time. We go to Ocala, Florida. James is on the line. Hello, James.
Hey, Leo. How are you doing today?
I am well. Do you work for Wayland Yutani Corporation? You work for them?
We do. We terraform planets. We've got some nice property on LV 426 if you want to buy something. Yeah, it gets noisy at night, but besides that, it's fairly quiet.
That's a great answer.
And be careful of the beasts that roam at night. Yes.
Well, they mostly come at night. Mostly.
Yeah, mostly. So. Hey, it's great to talk to you, James. What can we do for you?
So I've got a sizable music collection. We keep it on our home server, and we'd like to access it from our Apple and our Android devices. So if we could do it outside the home network, that'd be great. It's not really necessary, but it'd be nice to have. I've got some extra computers, some extra Raspberry Pis laying around. So if I could incorporate them, if that was necessary, I could do that. Up till now, what we've been doing was loading our music onto Google Play Music, but apparently they're going to shut that down and roll that into YouTube Music.
What?
That's what I've heard.
Oh, man.
So I don't know what that's going to do to that. That's kind of why we wanted to be able to access our own stuff without having to rely on Google Music if it's not.
I loved that. I loaded all my music too, to Google. I actually did with Amazon, too, and they have my whole collection, and it streams everywhere. Oh, that'll be a bummer. But you're right. The Google, you never know where they're going to shut stuff down.
Yeah,
Moving it to YouTube. So it's still going to have the same service. They're just putting it under YouTube Music now.
Okay.
I haven't heard that rumor. I hope they don't, because I've actually done the same thing. So I've got all my MP3s that I've ripped in over the years from the music that I've got, my CD collection, all that kind of stuff. And I've uploaded all of to Google Music.
Say the Napster word. You can say it.
I don't. What's Napster? Napster? What? BearShare? I mean, what?
I
don't know what that is.
I have like 80 gigs of music that I downloaded back in the day.
Yeah, we all did that.
But I've paid for it since.
That's right. Many times over,
actually.
Blood,
sweat, and tears. Yeah. I keep buying Beatles music.
That's right. No, but so I do the exact same thing. I hope Google Music doesn't go away. I need to go back and validate that. But I've done the exact same thing. That's the first suggestion, actually, is to keep it in Google Music.
Or Amazon. Limits on how many songs. Apple's iTunes Match. Actually, that's what I did to sanitize my Napster music, which was if you have anything over 96 kilobits per second, it will upload it and then download, then delete it.
I did the same thing.
Move it somewhere else. Yeah. Don't delete it completely, but move it somewhere else and then say, okay, I want to download all my music. And suddenly it's 256 kilobit AAC.
Right.
And there's no copy protection.
Right.
It denapsterizes
it. Yeah. And that saves them money because they don't have to upload your file. All they have to do is match it with the one that they already have.
Right.
So.
But I like also the idea, and in fact, I have a big Synology NAS. Mm-hmm. I like the idea, I'm with you, James, of having your own storage, your own place to keep your stuff.
Right.
So how can he do that?
So you mentioned you have a Raspberry Pi, right? Yeah, so Raspberry Pi, you should definitely check out the music player daemon if you haven't already. There are lots of front ends for it, but that serves as a back end. So you use the music player daemon as your back end. You connect to your Synology or whatever server you have, and you can stream that to your phone, to your computer, to your whatever. Now, granted, that's going to be inside the house. It's not going to cover you outside the house, unfortunately. But you could set up an external link to that box from the outside and let you do the same thing. Might hurt your bandwidth. A little bit there if you're trying to do it outside, but you should definitely check out MPD. The other nice thing about MPD is you can use it for so many other projects. So, for example, I use that to when I built turned my old time radio, my 1942 Philco radio, and put a Raspberry Pi in that. I used MPD and the MPC front end client because then you can actually get in there and program and make it do all sorts of stuff, react to buttons or do all kinds of things. I've got several people in the in our makerspace that have done something similar to this, actually using Raspberry Pi Zero, a little Bluetooth board, and they make up all sorts of portable players that can take their music basically anywhere at that point. So that's the first recommendation I have.
Does this support? It looks like all
does it should run on any Linux system.
But I mean,
that you might
have. So on his NAS, does he have to turn on the Windows Music Server?
No. On the NAS, you don't. So what'll happen is the MPD will run on your Raspberry Pi, and that will link back to whatever server you have, whether it's a Windows server or a Linux server.
So it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter, and it'll stream the files from that server for you.
Okay. Plex would do that too.
And Plex is not a bad idea.
Yeah.
Kodi. Is another idea, but both of those platforms are a little bit more built for video.
Who's NAS?
For video,
Who's NAS?
I'm sorry, what now?
Who's NAS?
It's just a PC that I shared out. Files on. It's not an actual Windows Server PC.
It makes it a lot easier.
Yeah.
That's why I did that because it was just so simple. So.
Yeah. Right.
All you have to do is put in the credentials to connect to that share on your network, and then stream everything that way.
Synology, the reason I asked is Synology does have this thing they call Music Audio Station. I haven't tried it yet. I'm thinking of setting it up on my Synology NAS. But I don't think, the real one is the iPhone out and about,
that's right?
And the other problem with doing that is your upstream bandwidth is not what you think it is, right?
Yep.
We all focus on the big number that the ISP gives you, the 20 megabits or the 100 megabits. But your upstream is usually 4 or 5. And you don't want to saturate that by sending music out.
Yeah.
Because everything else will stop working. So, yeah, maybe not serving it to the internet. If you want to do that, then Google
Around
Music.
The house is one thing. On the internet, Google Music, iTunes,
Amazon. She mostly listens to stuff inside the house, so that's fine.
Yep. It's funny how it's gotten so hard, just parenthetically, to put your music on iPhones.
Yeah.
You have to really work. The Apple really wants you to stream it. I don't know why. I guess because they want you to subscribe to Apple Music.
Sure.
But if you have a music collection now, I feel like we're kind of second-class citizens. If you have a bunch of MP3s, you want to... That's not how the world's working anymore. They want you to subscribe monthly and just play it from their servers.
Yep. And for the most part, I'm okay with that, right? It makes my life
convenient.
A lot easier.
Yeah.
But I've still got all those files, just like you do. So I want to keep them around just in case. You never know what's going
to
happen.
I'm crossing my fingers that moving to YouTube, you know, becoming, it's just, I think it's just a name change, James. I'm hoping.
I think it is.
I think so, too. I think all the services, at least I haven't heard anything that they're going to be taking away, you know, the interface or the fact that you can upload music or anything like that.
James, when you're not terraforming planets, what do you do?
Oh, I'm a student right now. I'm getting my MIS degree.
Awesome.
Nice.
Yes.
You're going to be in management information sciences.
Yes. I met you in Gainesville at the IT Pro TV launch.
Oh, wow.
Did we dance together?
No, we did not dance together. My wife would be jealous. She doesn't tolerate that.
Lisa and I are dancing, and then I'm looking around, and everybody's staring. No one else is dancing. They had great music, though, didn't they, James?
They did. They did.
It was a lot of fun. Well, it's good to see you again.
Thank you very much.
Good luck in your career.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Some great tips. It's always nice to have you here to help us with the maker
stuff. Something a little different. He mentioned he wasn't afraid of the Raspberry Pi, so
do not fear the Pi.
That's right.
I love the Raspberry Pi. And you know what? I have several, and I'm always looking for things to do.
Yeah.
You've got some great ideas. You're always good on this stuff.
Absolutely.
Patrick Norton, speaking of makers, he'll be here next week. If you have a tech question for me or Patrick, here's how you get on the show.
Need tech help? The new Screensavers are here with answers. Email your tech questions to newscreensavers@twit.tv.
I'm so excited. I got my invitation to the big Apple event on Tuesday. You know, they told me that everybody gets a different Apple logo done by a different artist. And,
yes.
And they're all unique.
Actually, that one was done by AI.
AI did this. You're invited to talk about our stuff. Wait a minute. Apple LLC? That's not the same Apple that I know. Aren't they a corporation now? Oh. And I got all excited for nothing. We will be streaming our live coverage of the Apple event. I'm getting up early because it's 10 a.m. in Brooklyn, 7 a.m. here in California.
Oof.
Megan Maroney and I will get on the air at 7 in the morning on Tuesday. It's worth it. It's always exciting when there's an Apple event. We're pretty sure we know there'll be new iPad Pros, 10.5 or bigger, 12.9. The rumor is that the 10.5 will be more like an 11 because they're going to get rid of the bezels and that they're going to take the 12.9, keep the screen the same size, and shrink the physical because it was kind of big.
That makes sense.
Yeah. New pencil, be Bluetooth instead of whatever weird technology they were using before. Maybe Type-C charging on these devices. That would be a real eye-opener.
That would be great.
And what the other thing we're kind of waiting for and hoping for and crossing our fingers for is updated MacBooks. Mm. Maybe a new MacBook Air, a sub-$1,000 MacBook Air. Cross your fingers, right, with a Retina display. And new Mac Minis. My God, we haven't seen a new Mac Mini in more than 4 years.
Wow.
That's another good device, though, for people who want to build their own thing like servers and so forth.
Yep. People use them all the time.
Now, Google had an event a couple of weeks ago, and they announced, of course, the Pixel 3. Got my Pixel 3. And this is the Google Home Hub. And it is surprisingly low, $149. Maybe not so surprising when you realize that this is pretty tiny. It wasn't easy to tell on the web or on the event, but let me just show you. This is my Pixel 3 phone. It's basically a 7-inch tablet with a 6-inch screen on there. It is a good screen, right? You looked at it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I could see it. I mean, I don't know what the official viewing angle is, but I mean, I could see it from, you know, just right here.
It's not super high res, 1024 by 600, so it's not even HD. But it is a good enough screen to be a photo frame. And I tell you, because it's tied to Google Photos, I'm really liking this as a photo frame. With, I could show you how you set it up here on my Pixel 3. I'll launch the Google Home app. That's how you set it up. And with Google Photos, you can use, you can't, you asked me if you could use a search term, and I wish you could, like, I want holiday photos.
Right.
But you can select, and this is kind of fun, family and friends. So these are all the face recognitions Google Photo has done. I think you're on here, Aaron. So if I wanted to make the slideshow just be pictures of Aaron Newcomb or that statue, I could do that. And so that's kind of cool. What I did is I said, well, maybe I'll do my wife, I'll do my son, my daughter, her son, and me. I included myself in that. And by doing that, I'm now only going to see pictures of us.
Mm-hmm.
If you have been using Google Photos over the years, as I have like every picture, every digital picture I've ever taken going back to 2001 in Google Photos. That means it's going to be digging through these and pulling up albums. You can also select recent highlights, which I did. And that way, I'm going to get pictures on here that I haven't seen in ages, pictures I just took recently. And I just love it. I have it set for 10 seconds, but you can make it much slower. I just turn it up so that
And I love that you can that looks very familiar. I love that you can go in and set it up for just albums, too. So if you had a recent vacation, for example.
Yeah, this is from our trip to Malta.
Got all your pictures in your album. Yeah, you pick that album and... Bing, bang, boom,
you can also turn on the clock, as you can see, and the temperature. And it is a Google Assistant with actually surprisingly good sound. Let me try this. Okay. And by the way, if you've got a Google Assistant, just cover its ears right now.
That's right.
Google, listen to Twit podcast.
All right, here's where you stopped in this week in Tech MP3, Twit 689. Nobody expects the Scooter Inquisition.
That was pretty quick.
And it remembers that we were listening to this before.
It remembers where we left off, which is really good. I think even the Echo doesn't do that. And I think the music is pretty good. It's very, it's loud. It's coming out of the speakers on the back here, which are fabric covered. You can also set this up. In fact, let me pause this so we don't have to listen to it. You can also set this up to go to any speaker automatically. So if you have a Bluetooth speaker that's paired to it or on your network, you could say, whenever I ask for something on my home hub, would you play that through the Bose speakers?
Right. That's brilliant.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That means you've now just very simply set up voice control for any speaker system in your house, as long as those speakers are also on the network. There's a lot of nice features built into this. Notice it immediately sees the podcast I'm listening to, and I can turn the volume up and down here. It gives you a lot. It's, you know, it's Google Assistant. I can say, Google, what's the weather like today? By the way, notice the phone responded
today in Petaluma,
as well as this.
Partly cloudy with a forecasted high of 78 and a low of 50.
Having a display on these things, I think, is really great. Now, you can do this with your Google Cast, right?
Yeah, you can do it with the Chromecast.
Yeah.
But you know, the thing about this is
you were just
showing the app, right? So what here's what would happen to me. I would see a recipe, for example, on my Chromecast.
Yeah.
And I would be like, oh, I want to make that tonight, right? But there was no way for me to get the information. I'd have to pull out my phone, go into the app like you just did, hit the thing. This has it all right there. You can just click on it and go.
It's a little small, as you pointed out, for cooking in the kitchen. It's a tiny screen. I think it's really kind of more aimed at a bedside table, a bathroom, a closet. Somewhere where you're a little, maybe I think it's just the right size for my desk.
Yep.
And I love having photo frame on my desk so I can see these pictures. I love how they come up. It has an ambient light sensor, not a camera. So where the camera would be is just this sensor. And if it gets dark in the room, I have actually had trouble triggering this in here. Maybe it's just so bright. But we tried it at home. You can say what's going to happen. Will the screen go off when it gets dark? Or will you have a very low light clock? So you can choose what's going to happen with the ambient light sensor. I like that. That's why I think it's really designed more for your bedside table.
I think so, too.
Than anything else.
Yep.
They say that Google eliminated the camera because they wanted to make the bill of materials small enough they could charge $149. That may be true, but I think also this is a nice thing because if you're going to put it in your bedroom, like the Amazon Spot has a camera.
Yeah.
The Amazon Echo Show has a camera. The Facebook portal has a camera.
Yep.
Maybe you don't want to have a camera in an intimate place in your house.
Yep.
It's nice that this doesn't. There's just no camera at all. It's really for a viewing device. You can watch videos. Google, watch YouTube. But it's
all right. Playing recommended YouTube videos.
By the way, there's my calendar, the weather report for today. And then here, this video is a Navy SEAL commander explains why they wake up at 4 a.m. I don't know why it's playing that one. But you can see the sound is really good.
The sound is great.
Yeah. And while it's small, oh, it's Casey Neistat. So while it's small, I think it's pretty cool that you can watch video on it. Always remember that kids will also have access to this, and they don't have great parental controls,
right,
alas, for YouTube. So your kids might be able to watch YouTube videos you don't want them to see.
Yeah.
That's always something to remember.
It'll make calls as well, right? Audio calls.
It'll make duo calls.
Duo calls.
Yeah.
But they're audio only.
That's Google's video calling, but for some reason it's, well, there's no camera. That's
yeah,
why.
There's no camera.
Duh. But you will see picture of the other person. It also has, and I think this is really important, a physical switch to turn off
the mic's off.
Voice recognition.
Yeah. Yep.
So if I just want to use it as a photo frame and not have it listen to what I'm up to, I can just have it there. And I think that's interesting that Google has become so privacy focused.
Yeah. And they've put that in since the original Google Home.
Yeah.
Because I've got one of those.
Yeah,
and they had that
it.
Privacy button.
Yeah.
It's great.
It's important.
My wife does that because the kids kind of go nuts sometimes with it. She's like, okay, that's enough. Hit the mute button.
Now, remember, this isn't the only Google Assistant with a screen. Mm-hmm. There are other companies. We've seen the Lenovo. They have a bigger screen, a 10.5-inch screen. JBL makes them. LG makes one. This one is a little different. Google makes a version of Android for those devices. This Google decided to do Google Cast.
Yeah.
So it is more like your
Chromecast. The other version is Android Things, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, Android Things.
That's what the other guys run on.
You can listen to YouTube music. You can play Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio. I like the live albums. I can try this. Let's see. Google. Oh, I turned off the microphone.
Gotcha.
The mic's
gotcha.
Back on.
Google, show pictures from Japan. Maybe I should have said show my pictures.
Showing your photos.
Oh, no, it is.
I figured it out.
So these are pictures. There's Mount Fuji.
Beautiful.
These are pictures I took in Japan. Don't you think that's a nice feature? I like that.
Yeah.
You could, I guess, do that with your Chromecast as well.
You can.
But I feel like this is the best photo frame ever made with some additional features. The JBL Link View is 8 inches. That's $199. The 10-inch Lenovo Smart Display is $250. It's $100 more. The Echo Show, if you want to get Amazon's, that's a 10-inch screen. That's $230. So they really are trying to hit the low price point.
Yep.
I tell you, I feel like I want to buy a bunch of these.
I think they're going to go lower around Christmas time, holiday
yes.
time,
or
too.
Black
so
Friday.
So if it's a little too much for you, just
right.
wait a few months. Black Friday's coming up because there's already been some deals floating around.
Right.
Like Home Depot, I think, had it for
$100.
$100. I mean, so
at that price, I think this is a really
that's
great
an
product.
Easy buy.
Yeah.
In fact, this is one device that my son, actually, my 13-year-old son, wants to put in his room, and he doesn't usually get excited about these things, but he's been seeing ads for this, and he's like, "Dad, can I buy that with my own money? I'll buy it with my own money."
It's not expensive.
He's really excited about
and
it.
And if kids like watching YouTube
yeah.
all the time, this
yeah.
is this is a kind of like a little mini, and I mean
exactly.
mini, TV.
Yep.
So big, it'll hold two sumo wrestlers fighting. I'm sorry about that. Kids, don't look at the sumo wrestlers.
Blur that out later.
So I'm very happy with it. I can find nothing wrong with this. It has all of the Google Home Assistant features that you would expect, the voice activation, everything but the camera. And as you said, you can make audio calls out and see the video in. You can also, by the way, use it as a smart home hub
right.
with the Google routines that you can set up. So you
yep.
can say, in fact, I think mine will do a little bit. Google, good morning.
Hi, Leo. I'm sorry, but I can't take your phone off silent from this device.
That's part of my routine.
Ah.
So it won't talk to my phone.
3:40 p.m. Currently in Petaluma, it's 75.
That's cool.
And mostly
I think
sunny.
The birds are a nice touch.
That's awesome.
Today, it will be partly cloudy with a forecasted.
And this is going to play some of my morning podcasts and stuff.
Right.
So I do have a routine that says, you know, if my phone's been on silent, I'm awake. So turn it on. It shows me my calendar. Google, stop. So I think I'm very happy with this. I think at this price, it's good. It'll be really great if you get it at the reduced price. And you're absolutely right, Aaron.
Yeah.
Black Friday, the holidays, you'll be able to see this at $100 or less.
I think so.
So tell your son to wait.
Yep.
Coming up, we're going to answer more of your tech questions. But first, we had some fun on iOS today. We're getting ready for Halloween. You have a costume?
Not this year.
No?
No, not this year.
Are your kids going out trick-or-treating?
Oh, yeah. My daughter has a whole thing she's making, a dandelion, you know, when it when it has the white stuff that you blow off. And so she's got like 100 little sticks with little decorations on them, and she's going as a dandelion.
Isn't
that's great.
Sweet?
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. She's very creative.
We thought it'd be kind of fun to show what you can do with Hue lights to spookify your house. Here's Megan on iOS Today.
Can I show you the Hue Haunted House app?
Things.
This is here it is.
They're
on
smart.
My iPad. So
even the app is creepy.
This is not
Demon
just
Dollhouse.
Lights, but also sounds. What do you want? Demon Dollhouse, Grizzly Graveyard, Abandoned Fairgrounds, Creepy Cave, Lurid Laboratory.
Well, I imagine Louise, Haunted House would have the most spectacular sound effects, right?
Okay, so let's listen to that a little
All
bit.
Right. I hear a heartbeat. Oh, and there's people.
And the lights changed color.
There's ghosts.
So my lights
Did our lights change color? Oh, yeah, look, they got
changed
red.
Color according
red.
To...
and actually, this is good.
Yeah.
This is terrifying.
It is, isn't it?
So Hue, this is actually an interesting thing. Philips makes extra money on Hue by charging for these extra apps. They don't give these apps
away. Yeah, this is $1.99.
That's reasonable.
It's a pretty good one.
I might get this for my... Because I have a Hue lit office.
This is Demon Dollhouse.
Oh, man. I can't wait to play with this at the house.
The reason I chose this one over the other millions and millions of apps is that it doesn't charge for each scene. Like, a lot of times they'll let you in, and then it'll be like, oh, that's 99 cents, and that's 99 cents. This is $1.99, and you get all of these.
You get all of them.
This one, Frightening Pursuit. It's pretty terrifying, too.
Jeez Louise. Somebody stole her face. She's probably running to capture them and get it back.
So you set this, put it, AirPlay it to your HomePod or your speakers, and just then your lights will change, and it's great. I really like
these are
this.
Really good. I can't wait to get this.
You can set it on a sleep timer, so you know it'll go off.
No, okay. Starting tonight, this will keep the kids out of my office.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
oh,
exactly.
Man.
It's good for decorating and also keeping kids out of your office.
Oh, I can't wait to play with this.
Hue
so do you assign different colors to the lights? Or
you
does it,
could. I mean, you can do
it does the lights
manually.
Automatically.
Yeah, it does it according to. So like, you know, for example, Hellfire turns them all red, obviously.
Yeah.
So.
Ooh.
Yeah.
But see. Yeah. Ooh.
I think that one stopped because you were, you adjusting it on the back?
I pressed the buttons.
Yeah. You can also do it manually.
Hellfire.
You can do it manually if you want to. And this little string light, also from Hue, is also matched up. So it's changing color as well. So, yeah.
That's
yeah,
so
it's a Hue Haunted House.
I like these LEDs. I didn't know Hue made these LED strips.
Yeah, they're pretty new. So you can hang those up on your house. And
oh, that'd be cool.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'll put this around the door to the office to further terrify the children.
This is where
the candy's kept. Come on in.
Mm-hmm. So the Hue Go is $50. Not cheap and not crazy.
Yeah, it's a little pricey. Yeah.
And then the Hue, you can get two Hue lights and the new hub for $100.
I kicked myself because on Sunday, for just one day, Amazon had a deal on its Echo-enabled lights. $10 a bulb. And I was thinking... Why didn't I notice that? I didn't see it till Monday because I would have bought,
So it's just Amazon Basics or something?
There's a brand that I can't remember what the brand was. I didn't recognize the brand, but that was a good deal.
$10 a bulb.
So keep your eye peeled. I wouldn't be surprised if they do that again before Halloween.
Yeah. So Hue, of course, requires a bridge. You can use, if you have an Echo Plus, that would also work.
So you don't have to have a specific Hue bridge. You could use the Echo Plus as a bridge.
Yes,
okay,
you can.
That's good to know.
But really nothing else.
Nothing else?
I mean, you can, I think even if you use it with HomeKit, you still need the bridge.
These are quite an investment. That's the downside to the Hue bulbs. And now that LEDs, light bulbs are getting cheaper and cheaper, I'd like to see some more. Now, I don't know, for instance, if those Amazon bulbs, they may just be white on and off bulbs. That's just probably why they're $10, right?
Yeah.
Because these are RGB. They have three LEDs in them, red, green, and blue, so they can make any color at all.
Boy, I love that show. iOS Today, every Tuesday on the Twit Network. Now, you have a last-minute Halloween.
Well, I was just going to say, I noticed the resin skull there that was on the desk during
the clip. Yes, Father Robert printed that out for
us. Oh, wow, even better. So I'm really impressed now. So actually, what I was going to recommend is there's a great Instructable. You can just Google search Instructable skulls. I'm sure it'll come up. You can go
other things may come up, but close those tabs.
Here's what you do. Yeah. Here's what you do. Go get a resin skull from your Halloween store, your local store.
Yeah,
they should have them there. Make sure it's resin, and then go
resin as opposed to like thin plastic.
Resin as opposed to thin plastic, and you'll see why in a second. And then go grab some milk jugs, right? The gallon milk jugs. Cut them out. Put the gallon milk jug over the resin skull. Get a heat gun and heat it up. You can form. And you can make your own plastic skulls that way.
Oh, many of them.
And then you can, tons of them, right? And then they're cheap and they're easy, fun for the kids to help with as long as they don't burn themselves. And then you can paint them and do whatever you want. So if you're looking for a last minute, have you ever been through Paris, the catacombs with all the skulls in there? You can totally recreate that.
Make a catacomb,
Make
kids.
Your own catacomb.
It's fun. Try it at home.
And learn something in the process.
You should do that outside, though, because probably when those milk jugs melt, they off. Gas, some nasty
they
stuff.
Might a little bit. I should be fairly safe actually
really?
With that
okay.
plastic. Yeah, you should be okay.
Nowadays,
just wear some gloves or something so you don't, burn your fingers and stuff. Last minute Halloween tip.
You could just go over to the Makerspace. And
you
do
could.
That. Where's
Absolutely.
Your Makerspace?
It's in Benicia.
Nice.
BeniciaMakerspace.org.
It's a good name.
So yeah.
I think what should happen right now is Ron should throw us the mailbag. Oh, from Dayton, Ohio. Thank you, sir.
All the way from Dayton.
That's a long throw. And now I have in my hand two questions. Pick one. You're going to answer them both anyway.
All right, I'll pick the one closest to me.
Because I think they're both for you. But let's start with email number one. I'm looking for a good tool, writes Edward. I can use... Oh, there's more. I can use on Linux, specifically Fedora. Boy, that's a name I haven't heard. That was the Red Hat.
Still going.
Public
yeah.
version of Red Hat.
That's right.
That I can analyze my WLAN, that's his wide area, local area network. I never understood why it would be wide and local, but that's okay. I'm looking for something that could potentially monitor the 2.4 gigahertz band. Oh, it's his wireless
LAN, local
not
area
wide
network.
Area, yeah. wireless. If it's WAN, it's wide area.
That's right.
If it's WLAN, it's wireless.
Yep.
Okay, thank you. He has a Linksys EA 8300. He wants information on traffic and congestion. I'm having connection issues with my smart home cameras and hope to figure out what's going on. Well, I can tell you one thing. People forget, these home cameras, if they're streaming to the internet, they use a ton of bandwidth.
They do. Mm-hmm.
If it's a high-def camera, it's like a megabit per
and
second.
And they don't have great antennas built in, right? A lot of them have that little tiny antenna. Some of them have external antennas.
Right.
A lot of them have that little tiny built-in antenna. You're not going to get the same kind of connection. You have to be a lot closer to your router in order to get that fast connection.
Oh, that's a good.
A lot of times people will put them outside their house, for example, right? Makes sense, but you're going through your walls and all that kind of stuff back to your router.
So what do you, is there a Linux tool, author of Making with Linux?
Yes.
Is there a Linux tool to monitor bandwidth,
so there's
Wi-Fi
all,
bandwidth?
All kinds of tools. It depends on how complicated you want to get, right? So back in the day, a lot of people used Wireshark. Wireshark was, I think,
was
bought by SolarWinds at some point.
It changed the name.
It's still Wireshark.
It's still Wireshark.
Yeah, you
okay.
can still get Wireshark. If you want to run Wireshark, you can still get it. But there's a couple of alternatives that I would suggest. CloudShark is one. It runs in the cloud. You don't have to install as much stuff. Very similar, but it just runs in your browser, so I'd suggest that. And then there's the classic Linux version of that, which is Ethereal.
That's what I was thinking of.
Ethereal. You can use that. And there's tons of tutorials online. So if you're not very technical, you can go read up on how to use it, put that on your network, and then monitor your traffic that way. One last thing I would recommend, and I'm not sure, I didn't dig in to see if his router would support it, but what I do at home is I run DDWRT, which is an alternative firmware that you can run on some routers, not all of them. But if you do that, then you can download certain packages that will monitor your traffic and tell you, which one is causing you problems and what the bandwidth is for each device. So if this router supports it, I apologize, I didn't have time to look it up ahead of time. You might want to check out doing that if you're technically savvy.
Some Linksys routers certainly do.
Yep.
Modern router firmware is a lot better than the old days. And a lot of it will do QoS and it'll give you bandwidth consumption of different devices, do all sorts of stuff.
And that may be enough in this case.
Your question.
All right. This question says, this is from Ryan. He says, hello. I'm an industrial design student at the University of Cincinnati. Go Bearcats.
Did you know that off the top of your head?
Oh, yeah. I lived in Cincinnati for 20 years. Go get a cheese coney.
Cheese coney
or a three-way.
You like it the three-way or five-way? What do you like?
I like a three-way.
Three-way.
I'm not much into the onions and the beans and
all
that
nonsense. Yeah, I like five-way.
Yeah.
Does that include spaghetti?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Spaghetti, chili, cheese.
Onions?
Good stuff. Onions, if you want. That's a four-way.
What's the fifth way?
And the fifth way is with beans. So the four-way is actually onions or beans.
Beans.
You get to pick.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the five-way is everything.
Whatever else.
I made the mistake of getting the five-way the first time I tried it, and I said, I'm never eating this again.
Whatever suits your compression
ratio. Several years later, I was hooked.
Yeah.
Anyway, he's at the University of Cincinnati College of Design, Architecture, Art, and Planning. Very long title for that particular college. As his capstone project, he says, I want to build both software and hardware to make makerspaces easier to build and use.
Wow.
Right on. I'm currently focused mainly on 3D printing, but I want to propose a system that could be expanded to all aspects of creative spaces. I'm gathering information on current makerspaces to understand successes and opportunities, and if you have any helpful information, that would be much appreciated. Best, Ryan. So thank you, Ryan, for that question, and I'm so glad I'm here to talk about this, because we could be here a while. It's a good thing we've got the fire going. It's gonna get cold in here. So a couple things come to mind with this. One is that you could check out. There's a couple of projects that are going on right now that are actually great for makerspaces that you could get involved with and help bring those projects either with documentation or additional coding or whatever. The first one is called Octoprint. And Octoprint allows you to connect to 3D printers remotely and do your printing, you know, from somewhere else in the makerspace. You don't necessarily have to go over to the printer, put your card in, do that all that kind of stuff manually. You could, even if you wanted to, you know, start your job from home, although I wouldn't necessarily recommend that because things can go wrong. But Octoprint is a great project. And if there's a way, if you go out to Octoprint and look at what people are asking for in terms of additions to Octoprint to make them more usable, my thing right now is how can I connect multiple printers to Octoprint? Because a lot of makerspaces have three or four printers, maybe of different varieties. It would be great to connect multiple printers to Octoprint to make them easier to use. That's one thing. The other thing, along with 3D printers, of course, is a good slicing tool. Now, slicing
is... Says Freddy Krueger. What do you mean, a good slicing tool?
Just in time for Halloween. A slicing tool is a tool that you use to, once you get your model, you put it in a slicer tool, and it starts at the bottom of your model and says, what am I going to print on the first layer? And then what am I going to print on the second layer? And so forth. And it builds that up layer by layer, and that's a slicing tool. And you need that in order to print your project. Slicer, that's Slicer with a 3 instead of an E, is a great project. And all these are open source, and they could use some help. I'm sure they would love having your help trying to get improvements into the Slicer platform. There are lots of other slicers out there that you can use. MakerBot makes one, for example, for their printers. There's professional grade ones like Cura that you can pay a fee and use, and that's fine too. But Slicer is an open source tool. It's free to the community. They've done some great work. We use it in our makerspace. And so there's a couple projects there that I would suggest that you get involved with. And if you want something simpler, there's always camera mounts that you could design, build, and publish on Thingiverse to allow people to hook up cameras to remotely monitor the print that's in progress. That would be a simpler one to do.
Yeah.
But if there was a whole series of those for various camera types, webcams and so forth, that would be a great addition and something easy to do
along these lines. I'm sure in the Benicia makerspace you have lots of different 3D printers. Have you found – this is something I get asked all the time, and it's such a fast-moving area. Have you found some that are good?
Yes.
Reliable and affordable?
Yeah, the Prusa 3D.
P-R-U-S-A. R-U-S-A.
3D is the one that I typically recommend.
How much?
I believe they're $300 or $400.
That's a good price.
Yeah, you can get them on Amazon.
You can get printers for $129.
Absolutely.
I wouldn't recommend it.
Get something that's going to last a while. The nice thing about the Prusa is it's upgradable. When they come out with new versions, new additions to things, you can actually, they usually allow you to upgrade yourself.
This would be a good gift for a hobbyist.
Perfect gift for a hobbyist as we're coming up on the holiday season or birthday or whatever. We have several makers at our makerspace that use these. You can see the cheapest one there, I think, is around $300.
Yeah, that's the original Prusa 13.
The original, yep. And they're a little bit more expensive, but well worth it. The design quality or the print quality on these is excellent, rivaling anything that you would see from MakerBot or any place else. So.
One of the things I've been told is that the less expensive printers are require a lot of attention and constant adjustment.
They
like
do.
You have to recalibrate every single print job.
Yeah. In fact, we have a class. Before we let people use our 3D printers, they have to go through this two-hour class for that very reason, because things go wrong.
Yeah.
And you have to know what you're doing. The last thing you want to have happen is your head to get stuck on a print or something and start a fire or melt plastic.
Oh,
or,
my God.
Yeah. Vent gases or anything like that. So,
okay.
You do kind of have to babysit them a little bit.
Prusa.
Yep.
You know, this is the guy, right? He's the author of Make Linux for Makers from themakezine.com, folks. Highly recommended for anybody, especially if you're getting a Raspberry Pi for a young person in your family. They're only $35, and you're going to need some support. I also really love the Learn to Program Python
That's
with
a
Raspberry
one.
Pi. That's
There's another one that's Getting Started with Raspberry Pi by Richardson. Matt, right? Matt Richardson.
Yeah, that sounds right.
It wrote that one. It's a great... So I would get all three.
Yeah.
Or get the ebooks if you want to.
Yeah, why not?
Why not? Yeah. Put them on your phone.
And what a just a great gift for a kid who's interested in technology.
Yeah.
Hey, William's in the audience. He's with, of course, the fabulous, who can ever forget it, RBR Wrestling Podcast.
Oh, yeah, I listen to it all
just
the time.
Just love that show. And he tells us that according to The Verge, Google has said, even though they're renaming YouTube, Google Music to YouTube Music, they will still let you upload and store your music with Music. So that's very good news. And thank you, William.
Yeah.
I just gave him the 2008 Podcast of the Year Award.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, because he deserves it.
Did you say 2008?
Well, he's been doing it for 13 years. I had to pick a number, and I had that one lying around. So
that's awesome.
There he goes. Thank you, William. Thank you. Look, we had a great studio audience. Thanks to all of you. If you want to join us, we do this show in Petaluma, California. If you're up our way, and you know you should come up. There's beer, there's wine. There's
great food.
Italian food. Just send an email to tickets at twit.tv so we can make sure we have a seat for you. Email tickets at twit.tv. You can also watch our live stream. We do the show Saturdays around about 3 Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. That's at least for another week, 2200 UTC, and then we're going to fall back and confuse everybody. You can go to twit.tv/live. That's where the stream is. And if you do watch the stream, you should really be in the chat room at irc.twit.tv. That's all 12 people that are watching the stream. They're all in that chat room, chatting with one another. It's a small but cozy community. You can also get on-demand versions of this show. A few more people do it that way. If you go to twit.tv/NSS, every episode's there. You can also go to twit.tv/subscribe to learn how to subscribe. But if you already have a podcast application, you use Pocket Cast or Overcast or Google or Apple or whatever, just use that and subscribe to the new Screensavers. That way you'll get it the minute it's available.
I'm assuming it's available on Google Home Hub as well.
It is. I didn't try that, but I should have, yeah. That's actually, to me, this is going to be a revolutionary thing for podcasters. The ability to ask your voice assistant, whether it's Echo or Google or Siri or Cortana, if somebody has one of those, to play, say, let's listen, you know, play the new Screensavers podcast. I always had the word podcast. That usually works.
Yeah.
And then you can listen to the latest episode very easily.
Easily, yeah.
I think that's going to be a revolution for podcasts.
It's great for while you're cleaning the kitchen.
Yeah, exactly. Go to whatever way, listen or watch, but do come back next week. We'll see you then. And thank you, Aaron Newcomb.
You bet.
BenishaMakerspace.org. Because, as Aaron well knows, it's nonprofit.
That's right.
All right. See you next time on the new Screensavers. Bye-bye.
Bye.